Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
For like from 28 until like 37, I was like, it was all about finding a relationship or staying in the relationship that I had, holding on to it tight, even if it was murdering me. I was gonna like try to hold on to it.
A superhero, of course, in the work that you do, a real life superhero because you are a mom. And the nerves today came because we're talking about something that you don't feel so super in.
Yes. I feel like a super flop in love, intimacy. You know, having children is like having a mirror. So like I've evaluated a lot of my other choices too and like who I am as a person. But certainly when I think about sex and intimacy, I want to be a good role model for her.
What story are you proudly going to tell your daughter about your sex life when she's of age?
I might tell her about the cool one night stand that I had on purpose. You're never single if you're hot. I don't know if that makes sense. That is my $1 million take. Like, I'm like, I'm a bad, I'm single. Like, single has connotations.
Is your relationship with your daughter's dad and the sexual relationship there one that you would want to tell her about? What's up?
Are these the babies?
These are the babies, girl.
So cute. Yes,
I silly goose.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
So beautiful. Look at those eyes. Aww, don't you love big?
My youngest have these big eyes too.
She puts me on when I see her. I'm like, wow. And then I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, wait a second.
You look like me.
What are we talking about today?
We're gonna be talking about how I am now, moving forward, not engaging in any type of intimacy that I wouldn't high-five my daughter for. Mm. Yes.
I fucking love that.
Thank you.
Because I love that because what you're saying is there are some kinds of intimacy you would high-five your daughter for.
Absolutely. When is when the time's right? She ain't gonna be no fast tell on my watch.
Okay, we're ready. You're obviously ready. Let's go. Let's go.
This episode is sponsored by loversbyshan.com, a suite of services designed to help you enjoy and refine the journey of loving and being loved. The starring guest of this episode is the lovely Zosia Rockamore, an actor you might recognize from The Mindy Project, Space Jam, Captain America, and Netflix's number one show, Forever. We're nervous.
We're sweating.
We're doubting we should be here. We're second guessing why we said yes to this. What? Why? Cheers.
Cheers.
I love your name, Zosia.
Thank you.
Do you know that my daughter's name is Zaya, and we spelled it with X?
Oh, really?
Because it gives, I think, the option. It's just, it adds a cool factor to it.
It does. I didn't know that. That makes me so happy. I love that there's a little person with an X carrying on the torch. Yeah. So she'll be like, it's X, like Xerox or xylophone or xenophobe. That's my monologue.
So did we sign her up for a lifetime of cool or a lifetime of harassment of having to explain how to pronounce the name?
I think both. I guess I'm somebody who doesn't always want attention, and I'm tall and I have an X name, so I could never
Beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
Smart.
Thank you. I'll Funny. Take it. I feel like, yeah, the up top and meeting people, there's always a lot of production. At first I didn't, I'm always like, it's like my villain origin story, TBH.
On that note, your ass is a superhero. A superhero, of course, in the work that you do. A real-life superhero because you are a mom. And the nerves today came because we're talking about something that you don't feel so super in.
Yes. I feel like a super flop in love, intimacy. Feel like, what's the opposite of a superhero? I don't know.
A villain, but.
I know, yeah. A civilian. I feel like an incapable civilian. The civilian who like trips and falls on their first like step of the run trying to get away from the bad guy. I'm that civilian. They're like, we couldn't save her.
Yeah.
She died.
You know, like the simple thing, my dad is a paramedic, which growing up, he told us he was an ambulance driver. Which was like way to underplay the work that you do.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm an ambulance driver. So, but we always were like very hyper, like cognitive or aware of when the sirens go off, it's to pull to the right. But like some people in the panic of that, my dad was like, I didn't put the sirens on because people, the civilians, they panic. They'll just like slam on their brakes right in front of you.
Yeah.
Some of them will like do like just like cross right in front of you or just freeze or speed up or try to race you. And so,
yeah.
Are you that civilian who's getting in the way of the hero or do you just step to the side?
I've stepped to the side and have passed away. I'm on a healing journey. I look straight to camera. I'm on a healing journey. I think it's just naturally what's happening. I don't know. I don't know if it's good or bad, but it feels right.
And I love what we came up with for this because as both mothers of daughters, you start thinking about all of your choices in a different way. You're like, I think about this for food because I talk about healthy eating to my kids a lot, but then I model that behavior by eating like some shitty stuff, which means I have to just eat it quietly in the car or just like behind a little garbage can so that they don't see who I actually am.
I'm dead.
But I think in most parts of your life, you actually try to walk the walk or walk the talk because you're like, I know someone else is watching. And so the place that you're at now is wanting to have the kind of sex you're gonna be proud to tell your daughter about one day.
Yeah. You know, having children is like having a mirror in the house. So like I've evaluated a lot of my other choices too and like who I am as a person. But certainly when I think about sex and intimacy, I wanna be a good role model for her.
All right. Let's go back to go forward then.
Yes.
tell me about your sex life.
Well, as we said right now, it's non-existent. Mm. But I came into sexuality and intimacy really, really early at 14. I lost my virginity. In one summer, I went from having done nothing to having a first kiss and losing virginity all in like, what is the summer, 10 weeks? So started way too young, in my opinion, and I think in anyone's opinion. Your brain's not developed, you don't know what you're doing. I was seeking male attention, validation. I wanted to fit in, I wanted to be liked, I wanted to be cool. And I wanted the boys to be attracted to me and to like me. I think it lined up with puberty. I think most kids want to start exploring their sexual side at that age, and I just totally went for it. And it kind of set me into a pattern of feeling like I had to be sexual with men to get them to like me, or if I liked them, or even if they showed any interest in me, it felt like I owed them a piece of me, or like I owed them to do whatever they wanted me to do. And I spent years, you know, my teenage years kind of behaving like that all the way through my early 20s. Until I was about 24, I'd say 24 or 25, I was like at a club with a group of friends and I'd been flirting with some guy all night, just drunk flirting. I don't even know if I was attracted to him, but we were just grinding and dancing. And I was like, oh, the next step is you go home with him. Like, mm-hmm. That's what you do. If you've been flirting with someone all night, then you have to go have sex with them, because I was still stuck in that pattern. And I went and I did go back with him and I did hook up. And I remember the next day feeling disgusted. I felt gross. I felt like confused. Like, how did I end up here? I didn't even like this guy that much. And in the light of day, I really didn't like him that much. He was not cute at all. I wanted to like literally scrub my whole body off. And I was still living in New York at the time. And I remember like walking home, getting on the train. And I was just like, I can't do this anymore. And I don't have to. And I didn't have like the only reason I had was that I felt icky. I didn't have anything deeper than that. But at that moment, I was just like, no, I will not be having casual sex with anyone ever again. Anything that I do with my body is going to be intentional and on purpose. And I'm going to try to start having agency.
And I kind of never looked back. Like, I'm not going to say mistakes haven't been made from 24 to 40, but from 24 to 40, I can tell you who each partner was and why. It wasn't just at random, and it wasn't just because, you know, someone showed me a little attention or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. I want to give you a gift that was given to me of, like, reframing loss of virginity to sexual debut.
Ooh.
Right?
Yes.
The moment that you decided, like, I'm going to start doing this,
yeah.
I'm happy that it happened consensually for you.
Yes, it did. For the most part. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us millennials, and particularly elder millennials, with all of the things that have come out with Me Too and just all the language and stuff we have around, like, what's considered assault? Or I think about those moments, like when I was younger, where a guy would be like, come on, please, please. And you're like, no, 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 no. You say no a million times. And then you finally just are like, fine, just to get them to shut up.
Yep.
And like, by some of today's standards, people are calling that like assault or like, mm-hmm. And that's been an interesting journey for me. Cause I'm like, was I like getting assaulted like on the loop? Because I just think that as a girl, a lot of us go through that where you're just like, let me just do this so he'll shut up.
Yeah, because the coercion and then the guilt.
Yeah.
Right. And then you think it's easier, but then what's more difficult is living with yourself on the other side.
Exactly. So yeah, definitely consensual, but there are definitely like moments and stuff like that where maybe things were like 50% consensual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think your whole story is very millennial. It's very me. I really relate to it to sort of like that. My belief system, mine actually happened where I had sex consensually and then I had a non-consensual experience. And what that told my brain is like, oh, they're just going to get what they want anyways. So you might as well be in charge of it and get ahead of it and be the one to just say yes. So I was just having casual sex because I was like, well, whatever. This is what is supposed to happen. And then I had at around 19 or so is when I hit the pause button. I was like, this is not what I want for my body or for myself. I'm not getting anything physically out of this. There's no emotional payoff. There's nothing that's, I'm not benefiting. So like, what am I giving and what do I think I'm gaining by taking this like powerful step by just being the first one to give it away? But after 24, when you had that moment, what happens next?
Honestly, now I think I got a boyfriend. I got like one of my first really good boyfriends. I had a few before then, but this one was legit at 25. We got together, actually right before I turned 25. And so he was my next partner and we were together for a couple years. So it was just that. And I kind of was moving like that ever since, of like only sleeping with guys who I was in a relationship with of some sort, even if it wasn't like, we're boyfriend, girlfriend, even if it was like, we're just seeing each other or a situationship or whatever. It was kind of just like, dwindled down to like, if I'm seeing somebody, I'm having sex. If I'm not seeing anybody, I'm celibate.
Mm.
And that's kind of been the pattern.
So why aren't we proud of this?
I know, why aren't I proud of it? I am proud of it. I'm not proud of it. But I think now, or in the last, what would it be, year, I am having another moment like I did at 24. It's like the more nuanced version of it. It's not like a big sweeping thing. I'm not doing things that make me uncomfortable, but it's like, if I'm engaging physically with somebody and I don't like what's going on, let's say, ouch, or like something, ow, like finding the courage to say something in the moment. I feel silly that I'm just having that moment in my later 30s, but like of just having full agency over who I am sexually as a woman. And if that means I'm like, hi, I like you and I want to hang out a million times and I never want to have sex, like letting that be it. Or if it's like, I like you and I don't have sex right now, maybe that's it. But I felt like there were still some vestiges of the little girl in there of like not speaking up for herself or not saying, hey, I don't like that. Hey, that actually grosses me out. Hey, you know what? I only like kissing someone if I really, really like them, because guess what? I don't like saliva. I don't like spit. And if I don't know you, I really don't like spit. So I'm not the girl who was like, our first thing's gonna be spit swapping. That's gross to me. And it makes me feel weird and like immature, but being like, yo, maybe I can own that and be like, hey, I don't wanna kiss. That's too much for me right now. Even if we've been on 3 dates, I don't wanna end this one with a kiss. Like, so I'm finding that like, I guess, even deeper sense of agency in myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what's been happening this last year. So I really hit a pause.
Like, I'm like, I ain't gonna do nothing. I ain't moving a finger unless I absolutely want to and feel comfortable and it feels mutually beneficial.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that because what it actually is addressing is how sometimes celibacy is like the band-aid fix that people think is gonna solve everything. If I just don't get penetrated by somebody, then I'm no longer gonna have the same behaviors, the same people-pleasing tendencies, the same like need for love and devotion show up in other ways. Because it's like not necessarily, it's not stopping the act, it's stopping the behaviors that would lead to that act happening without you wanting it.
Yeah.
But then when you get a little older, you're like, okay, so it's not just sex, it's really just anything. Like for me, it could be going for dinner with somebody, but doing it because that's what you thought that they would want to like you in versus the thing that you liked for yourself.
Yeah. Putting me first all the time, especially in those situations, especially as mothers, you were not able to always put ourselves first. So I think, yeah, like with a dating life, like I'm really putting me first because that's like third, fourth, fifth on the list. Like,
what story are you proudly going to tell your daughter about your sex life when she's of age? This episode is sponsored by me because why not? Did you know that Lovers is more than a podcast? It's an entire suite of tools designed to help you reach your intimate potential. Like, there's Shayi. You can ask my AI anything, or as I call her, Shayi. Sign up for my weekly newsletter or check out my free resource library of quizzes and worksheets at loversbyshan.com. Want more? Join the Lovers community for $20 a month. This is a space to connect with others who share our passion. Book one-on-one time with me, join weekly classes, and even be a part of the podcast. Okay, that's a whole lot of information, but here's the bottom line. If you are ready to enjoy the journey of creating a euphoric intimate life as much as you're going to enjoy the destination, then head over to loversbyshan.com. I'll see you there. What story are you proudly going to tell your daughter about your sex life when she's of age?
I think I might tell her. This was coming to mind first. I might tell her about the cool one-night stand that I had on purpose. The one that was intentional and the one that I chose to have, where I felt so much agency after. Like when it was done, I was like, that was fun. That was cool. I felt like myself. I felt alive. I had a great time. That guy was great company. I don't care if I hang out with him again or not. It served its purpose, I guess, for me. It was my first time maybe being a little bit of a selfish lover.
Oh my gosh, I love this. This is actually the conversation I've been having a lot with people, and you just helped me put it into words because it's not about the act, it's about the intention.
Yeah.
So some people will look at it as a win that I didn't have sex with that person, but you let them walk all over you in a bunch of other places, but you drew the line here, so that's the W for you. Mm. Where for me, I mean, I was asked this question actually on the podcast that came out yesterday, where she was like, well, what do you think about somebody who just has casual sex with people? As long as they're safe, you think it's fine? And I was like, yeah, I'm more inspired. Don't get me wrong. Like, is it amazing to have an intimate relationship with one person that you share a life and kids and a multidimensional relationship with them, and they know your family, they know your triggers, they know what upsets you, they know what turns you on, like there's a safe space, like all the things. Like, is it not ideal for people to get to that scenario? Maybe for some, but I just think period, like I'm inspired by the story of somebody who has sex with a different person every single night, but they also really know, okay, on my luteal phase, I can't do back shots, so I'm not doing back shots today. And here's what I like. Oh, and here's what I'm not doing anymore when it comes to sex, but you know what I really wanna try? I wanna try this. What do you wanna try? Oh, let's explore that. That sounds really fun. Okay, cool, bet, let's play. And they play, and at the end of it, both people are like, I got closer to who I am as a person and my concept of God because of this experience. Thank you, I'll never see you again. Versus the person who is married and in a long-term relationship and has felt so much guilt and shame over asking for what they want, so they just don't. And so they've engaged in duty sex for years and years and years. And just imagine if Zosha got married at 24 years old, when you said, I'm not gonna have sex again until it's intentional with someone that I love. Fast forward, you meet someone you love at 25, you marry that person, but you still have all the tendencies that make it so that person's making out with you every time they see you. And you never really got a chance to like learn the lesson that it's not just about the sex, it's about betraying myself to get closer to someone else.
Oh, yes, across the board. That's the lesson. You just, that
is exactly it. That sentence, betraying myself to get closer to somebody else, no matter what that means. Yeah, wow. That just resonated with me. I think that's what I've been spending a lot of time doing. And that's really where this newer pause came from, even after having my daughter. Like, just was like, okay, this is enough. So much self-betrayal. I don't know if it's just for women, but I'm sure men betray themselves too. But I just feel like maybe I just have more women friends. We're always like talking about those self-betrayals and how those hit harder than even getting betrayed by somebody else outside of yourself. Self-betrayal. You're like, oh, I can't believe I did this. You know you didn't want to. And now look. Now look. It's always that. The minute you do something you're uncomfortable with, you get a yeast infection.
Exactly.
Like, that's, it's always a CVS trip. The minute that you are like, you know what? Whatever. Like, damn it. I have to deal with these polyps and nobody else.
Okay, take me inside of this amazing one-night stand. I want to hear this story.
Oh my, it was so fun. Oh, my God. But the funnest time, it was actually during COVID. So I think that played a huge part in it. I hadn't been anywhere. And this was like, it had to be like September, October 2020. So like kind of we were like in the flow of COVID. And I met a guy on an app. And I don't really do the dating apps. But I was like, you know what? We're inside. Let me just see what's up. Met a guy on the app. We chatted a little bit. And he invited me out to a party. I hadn't been to a party, you know, in the pandemic. And so I was so excited. So I think I was like feeling myself and like in my own element, because I was at a party in the Beverly Hills, like, which I don't even know. It was all fancy. It was like a bunch of Euro trash. Like, I just, oh, it was just giving me that, like, the feeling I love of like being like a 20 something in New York, being like, Vladislav, come here, is there more vuv? Like, just like random Euro trash, me feeling anonymous. I don't know this man from Adam. I look hot. I feel like a model. I'm just vibing. It's just like me and myself almost. He was like,
you're the best dancer there.
Yes, because it was just Vladislav and them, Svetlana, which was so fun. I felt so anonymous. And that's something I'm learning that I really liked. I like feeling anonymous. I like to maybe know like one person or kind of know a person, but like everyone else is a stranger. It's like a feeling I like. So I think a lot of feelings that I liked were happening. And we had a great time, and we went back to his place and kept having a great time talking, laughing, having drinks, smoking a little weed, watching things. It was just so fun, and it felt so organic, and I felt so attracted to him that we just were attracted to each other like magnets. And it just, I don't know, I felt in control. It just felt fun for me. I liked everything. It was just, I don't know if we were just really compatible or what, or if it had been all the other fun stuff leading up to it, like he had a cool car. It was just like all these boxes were getting checked. And so then I wanted to check the final box.
And how was the final box?
It was cool. It was nice. You know, it's never the final box for me. In those situations, it's never like the penetration, I guess. It's probably the everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the everything else was so... Like, the foreplay started when he pulled up in the vintage whip. The foreplay continued when we got to the party, and it was so fun. And he took me to a party in COVID that was outdoors and safe. I didn't get COVID after or anything. So I think it was just, like, all of those things that led up to it that made it such a fun experience. And I think the fact that I went and kind of sought it out on an app, not sex, but connection, dating, I felt in charge. And, yeah, when I didn't feel anything, I wasn't like, is he gonna call me after? Like, are we gonna be together now? I didn't have any of those thoughts. I was also freshly 35. So I think I was like, yeah, this is it. 35-year-old sex. You're a grown lady, you go, you swipe, you find someone you like, go to a party, turn up, peace out, man. See you again, or not. Like, maybe it was just that.
And really meaning it.
And really meaning it. I don't care about that man. And I just felt like a bad bitch when I left. I felt like a woman. Maybe my first time really feeling like Samantha Jones from Sex and the City. Mm. I think before I would try to claim to be a Samantha, but I was probably getting taken advantage of. But this time I was like, no, this is Samantha. Mm. Like, wanting it, getting it, peacing out.
What's the needy, whiny one's name in Sex and the City?
Charlotte?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the one who's like obsessed with marriage, like she's the more traditionalist.
Right.
Yeah. And she's the one, she's like, don't sleep with the guy. for, you know, 90 days or whatever. I feel like she's like the Joan.
I think that like a lot of women who are like big Samantha energy, but genuine Charlotte energy, they think that they can fool people. All we see is Charlotte. That's all that men who are predators see for sure.
Right. Yeah, I think that might have been me. I was like, I'm a Samantha. They're like, no, you're just available. Like, yeah. You're just like making yourself really easily available. You're not like in control. Because Samantha was also older than them. Like, if they were 32 when they started, she was 39. I'm deep in the Sex and the City lore. I love that show. But like, so she was already grown when we met. This was a 39-year-old woman from season one. So like, you function in different at that age than you are in, I guess, your early 20s or even early 30s. So like now, I wouldn't say I'm a Samantha now. I'm like, now, I don't know. I don't buy into the four girls. I'm maybe an amalgamation of all of them.
Yeah, I didn't watch the show, so I can't help you.
You're like, I don't know.
Yeah, just. Did you find in that experience that you were able to, do you remember being more vocal? Saying stop when you like something, saying green light when you wanted more of something, even if it wasn't verbal, if it was nonverbal. Like, did it feel like that was a moment that you practiced all the things that you were like, you had learned through those, let me do the math really quickly, 26 years of having sex? That's not bad. That's not good math. Is that good math?
I was like,
14 20, minus 34, 5. 20?
20?
21. 21.
Yes. 21, I think. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was all in there. You know, luckily, like I said, there was a lot of compatibility. So like, you know, sometimes you're like, damn, I don't have to give notes. But yeah, I was moving around the space like I wanted to. Things didn't happen until I wanted them to. Nothing happened until I wanted it to. I didn't feel forced or pressured or coerced in any way. And I literally could have left at any given moment, but I was like, I want to stay because I want to, because I'm enjoying myself and I want to enjoy myself further and just see what's up.
Is your relationship with your daughter's dad and the sexual relationship there one that you would want to tell her about?
No. Sure. This is the part that made me nervous about coming on, I think, because that relationship was my last relationship and my biggest and my longest. And because of the nature of it, there's only so much I can say without it being complete salacious tea.
Right.
But yeah, I loved him. So I definitely would want her to know that.
Yes.
Yeah, that I loved him. And I'll want her to know that don't ever love anyone more than you love yourself. And don't betray yourself for the love or acceptance or company, or don't betray yourself to keep someone in your life or to, you know, try to have them there. They're going to be who they're going to be and you be who you're going to be. So like, yeah, I think there's parts of it that I think I could tell her about. But yeah, we loved each other a lot and it was passionate and there was chemistry and we had so much fun. Yeah, and I think that will be about all I would tell her.
Yeah.
I wish there was more I could. I'm writing it all in journals so that like everything I feel, I'm a everyday journaler and have been for like 20 years, which is nuts. So she'll be able to read the whole story and track it and maybe make her own decisions.
You would do that for her?
Yeah. When she's way older, she can read my journals when she's like in her 30s, when she's like a woman who can understand. If it's appropriate, I guess I'll wait and see closer to the day.
I'll say this as a reflection for that, just because this peaked for me. Why that peaked for me is because I was a super horny teen or young person. So I don't know if you identify as such or you just had sex in your teens, but I was a super horny person in my teens. And as a result, when you have a high drive, both for love and attention and also for whatever you consider to be sexual release, because I wasn't getting sexual release from the kind of sex I was having, but I still just had a drive to figure out what that could mean. And you have low information, then you just make bad decisions. Mm-hmm. And so when you're making these bad decisions and you're fumbling around, when you have a parent like my mom presented herself like a sexually perfect person. She was like, you know, I met your dad. He was love of my life. We fell in love. 2 weeks later, we got engaged. Then we were married. And then we had kids. So I'm not going to tell that lady that I had sex with a carrot last night. Like, I'm just not going, you're not going to be able to relate to what I've experienced. And this was a yearning that I had like in my teens, because I had so many questions, but I was like, I can't come to you because you will never understand. So the idea that you would offer this journal to your daughter, you know, maybe even in her late teens or something, so that she would know that like her mom has went through these same things too and be able to learn directly from you, I think would be cool.
Yeah.
But I also get the like scariness of handing that over at such a young age.
Yeah. And not wanting to shape her opinions on anybody or any of her, you know, anybody in her life who's important by what I went through, because everyone's going to have their own different relationships. So I'm always working on being neutral, but wanting to be an open space where she can come to me with anything. Thank goodness she's only 7.
Yeah.
I got a couple more years where I have to think, yes, of any of this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, for you, because I am not.
She could get her period next year.
Lord.
Right? That's
Lord.
Early puberty begins.
I know. I was a late bloomer in that sense. I didn't get my period until I was like the last one. I was like, where is my period? Like all my girlfriends.
Were you what, like 16 or?
No, I was like going toward 14. Like, I was, like, at the end of 8th grade. But by then, all my friends in my class, like, had gotten it in 6th or 7th or 8th. And I was, like, second semester, 8th yeah. grade. Like, I was, like, come on. Like, not late, but, like, closer to 14. Or 14.
Yeah.
Which, I had cousins who got it at, like, 10.
Yeah. It's 8 to 13 is, like, the range of normal. I was 13 as well. But that to be said, early puberty would be 8. And, like, you start growing buds and everything else. Mm-hmm. And it's not a negative thing. It's a part of development.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, I always give this comparison that we start walking before we think our kids are ready. Right? A kid starts walking at 1. That is extremely terrifying for a parent. Because it's like, your legs are not stable. I got to watch you all the time now. Like, you're not mentally aware of like what walking consists of, the dangers of it.
Yeah.
But it's not your job to stop them from developing. It's your job to support and scaffold their development. Yes. And so it's got to be like, yeah, that's what's going to happen at that age. And I'm going to have to figure out what's the equivalent of putting up like guardrails in front of the stairs.
I know, for your like raging hormones.
And then also to give you stuff like a little walker so you can learn. Like,
yeah,
it's like to help you learn how to do this better and safely, not to stop you from developing.
Yeah. Totally. Whew, that's going to be a doozy. I feel like she gets a new hormone like every month and she's randomly like, what are you talking about? You're so annoying. I'm like, you're 7. Why are you talking to me like you a teenager? What do you mean I'm so annoying?
Yeah.
Like, she's like, you're the worst. I'm like, are we in it now?
I just say that because we have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and where I just see when a new emotion gets unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
Like yesterday, I saw, because I was giving 3 cheers to the older one, and the younger one didn't like that.
Oh.
And so I was like, oh, this is, and she scratched me across my face. Yeah, I had little scratch marks and everything, but it was like, oh, I see this is like a new emotion for you unlocked.
That yeah. You're like jealousy.
Wait a goddamn second.
Like, no, hey.
Yeah.
Where's my cheers, lady? You're like, dang. I know, they're a trip. They will like get you together. I do think about that though, of like what I'm modeling for her, even in terms of like, because my daughter likes romance. She's into like any of those like Netflix movies that are about like teenagers. Like she loves like The Kissing Booth, which I shouldn't admit, it's probably inappropriate, but I let her watch PG-13.
Yeah.
Like, sue me. Throw me off the mom committee. But like she loves that, just anything having to do with romance or anyone getting married. Like she just loves anything like that. And so she has asked me before, she's like, why don't you have a boyfriend? And I'm like, I just don't. Or she's asked me before, am I gonna have a stepdad? And I was like, I don't know. And it's like, even if I do get with somebody, I was like,
did she say it with dread or?
No, curiosity. This was right after she got a stepmom, or like sometime in those months after. So I think that was her way of processing. But she's like, am I going to get a stepdad? And I was like, hell nah, first, because that was my way of processing. But then I was like, yeah, I don't know. I kind of was like, if I do get with somebody, I don't know if at this point when you're 7, like let's say I get with somebody when she's 10, I don't know if I'm going to be like, this is your stepfather. Like, I don't know if that's even necessary. That can just be like Frank. And you're my daughter and this is our Frank, you know, like I don't feel the need for her to have like an extra parent.
Which is why, actually, I think the answer I don't know is perfect. I was going to kind of say, like, well, why not tell her, like, something more optimistic? Like, maybe, or yeah, or that would be interesting. Well, what do you think about that? But I think I don't know is a perfect answer, because you're like, there's so much information that would go between that and making that decision.
Yeah.
Not just am I going to find a partner, but am I going to want that partner to take on that role for you?
Right. That's mainly what I was thinking, because yeah, it just made me start thinking about that kind of stuff of like, if I did get a boyfriend, how would that intersect with my motherhood? I can't even imagine. My daughter sleeps in the bed with me. So I'm like, well, he can't fit. And that's inappropriate. So I'm like, okay, so no sleepovers. Like, unless my daughter is with someone else, which is never. So yeah, it's kind of hard for me to like even imagine anything like that. My mom was a single mom, or she's still here, but she is still a single mom. But growing up, she didn't, I'm sure she had lovers and friends and whatever she had going on, but there weren't really like, there was never a man in our house. There was never guys having a sleepover, or she never had a boyfriend like that. That was like in-house. So I kind of grew up in a just mom and daughter, single mom household. So I'm kind of, I don't know if I'm just repeating it subconsciously, or if that's what I'm most comfortable with, or if it's because I don't really have a model of like what that looks like. So I'm like, I better get it together, or she gonna be the third generation of single women like me and my mom. Which is fine. My mom's awesome.
And you're awesome.
Yeah, and I'm awesome.
And you're living a dream come true.
Yeah.
So it's like gonna work out either way.
Yeah, exactly. I don't feel no pressure about it. I don't feel embarrassed about it. I know this is silly, but I feel like you're never single if you're hot. I don't know if that makes sense. That is my million-dollar take. Like, I'm like, I'm a bad, I'm not like, I'm single. Like, single has connotations. Like, people are like, oh, single. You know, I'm like, you ain't got to worry about me. Like, baby, I'm living my best life. Like, I'm cute. I'm outside, sample size, got a little cash, drink a martini. I'm not single. I wish I had a partner. Nah. So I'm like, maybe she'll adopt that attitude too.
I listened to this episode with John Mayer on Call Her Daddy, and it was like my favorite interview because of that. Because I think, not that the host was trying to put that on there, on him, but like, hey, you're older. You've obviously had many failed relationships. Like, you're not getting younger. And his thing was like, hey, there's like 8 billion people on this planet. I'm John Mayer. I just got to pick one.
Oh, well.
Right? Like,
so true.
And what that is, that single or is that something else?
Yeah. Okay. I need to get together with him and find out what... Find out what we're gonna call ourselves. It's so true. I feel like there's so much value put on relationship status or being in relationships. I guess it's maybe the age and the age I've been at. I feel like from 28 until like 37, I was like, it was all about finding a relationship or staying in the relationship that I had, holding on to it tight, even if it was murdering me. I was gonna like try to hold on to it. And then now I just don't care. Like if I don't think, I'm sure there's another boyfriend or two in my future. Like I said, I'm still cute and I'm only 40. It's not over. But I think I feel a little more comfortable knowing if I never get married or if I don't have a forever partner, I think I'll be okay.
Yes.
Yeah, and I actually mean that. Whereas I don't think I felt like that before. Yeah.
Well, I think that's also a part of living life for others versus living it for yourself. Like when you're living life for other people, you just want to check the boxes, regardless of if you like those boxes or not,
mm-hmm.
or of who it's really with, as long as it gets you closer to approval from other people.
Mm.
But when you divorce yourself from that in the way that you have, and you're like, I'm not betraying myself to be closer to the version of me that you're gonna like, whether you are a man or you are a mom or an internet auntie, like
right.
I'm not doing that for you. And then you just find that like I'm happier this way, and why would I change to get something that I already acknowledge is not going to make my life any richer? What makes your life rich, what's given your life joy, is being true to yourself. Would it be nice to be true to yourself while having great sex with someone else that you love and adore, who also loves and adores your daughter, and you guys can figure out a good relationship that makes sense for that? Sure. Why say, like, I wouldn't say no to four more of
right.
those people, right? If that existed. But if it doesn't, then that's also really beautiful too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's where I'm getting. I didn't want to like come on wax on camera and be like, I'm done with dating, just in case somebody out there looking, you know, or like yes. wants to date me or something. But I know I'll be okay if, you know, that part of my life isn't as bustling as some of the other sections of it.
Well, what are you done with?
In terms of dating?
Well, like, if you're saying, you can't say for certain you're done with dating or you're done with the idea of marriage or whatever, but there are certain things that you know you are done with. What are those?
I am done centering men, just in general, in my life. Centering men when I make decisions about what I'm gonna wear, where I'm gonna go. Ooh, maybe we should go, there ain't gonna be no boys there. Like, I'm done centering men in that sense. And I'm done trying. I'm saying that with a grain of salt. Like, if I meet someone and we're forging a relationship and gonna be together, then yes, I will try and I will, like, you know, make changes that need to be made or be flexible. But trying to get a man or chasing or trying to make myself available to or seeing who's swiping, all of that I'm done with. That's all effort to me. I never, like, the apps never worked with me because it required too much effort. Like, so I think I'm done putting effort into dating.
Mm-hmm. Which is not a negative thing.
Yeah, because no, you feel should bad put saying it for some reason.
I think it's like you put effort into living and then that's when I think dating makes the most sense or works the best. Because it's like, oh, like, I have a rich life and I wouldn't mind doing things with people. Maybe I'll meet people while I'm living that want to do these things with me. So yeah. I don't make dating like a separate activity or a separate thing that I have to like conquer. I just live and I do things that I like. And I hope along the way I find people who, hey, you're part of this class, I'm part of this class, cool. I'm going to another class, wanna come to that one too? And then maybe, oh, I'm going to this restaurant, you wanna come too? And then next thing you know, they're introducing you to new things that you like. Like, I think that that's literally the best way to do it.
And I will say, I'm always trying to stay in touch with, I feel like I'm speaking from a privileged place in the sense that I have a daughter. I know a lot of people who have a really strong desire to date, it is to get partnered to then procreate. So I feel like I can kind of have this moment of like, I'm not putting effort into that anymore because having a child was important to me and I did do that. I don't know where I would be if I didn't have a child right now and I was 40. I don't know if I would be singing the same tune.
I love that. That's yeah. a positive spin on it.
Yeah, I always
noticed
that.
Being a single mom is a place of privilege.
It is. I'm 27 again. There's no clock. Like, I got the baby. I'm Gucci. I'm 22 even. I'm like, I'll meet the right guy someday. Like, nothing matters. Like, I'm not, everyone else is working against eggs, you know, and fallopian tubes breaking down. Like, I'm not, because I don't think I want more kids necessarily. I'm cool with just the one. It's one and done. It's hard enough. I don't need to double down on the task. But... But yeah, I always just take it. Yeah, I say it. I know I'm coming from a privileged place to talk like that. I don't always have the right audiences for this kind of talk. I can't be like, please, I don't care about dating.
Yeah.
My friends are staring at me like, girl, we want kids.
But I love that. I think it's just a flip. It's a different way of looking at it. And we've already looked at it the other way.
Yeah.
So it's okay for you to claim to look at it this way.
There's so many perks. As I've been 7 years into the single mom journey, I found so many perks. At the beginning of it, I was like, why? No. But like, as it's gone on, I'm like, okay, that was one perk that I'm 27 again or 22, whatevs. Another perk, I get to still like live my old kidless life at times. Like if she goes to her dad's for the week or if she's at my mom's, it's just me and I'm in the club. And I'm doing my thing, or I'm just like
with
sleeping in.
With Sladloff.
Right, literally, it's Svetlana in them. I'm like, back with my Euro trash. Like, that's kind of nice. Whereas I've seen, like at her school and stuff, some of the more traditional family units, it's like, there's never a girl's trip. It's like the family unit until it's not. I mean, I'm sure they can sneak off and do one with their girls, but it's a lot harder.
Yes,
whereas
yes.
For me, I was like, oh, when it's just me and her, if she's not here, I'm just me. That's perk numbers. And another perk that kind of goes with this that I think of is like, obviously you become, I think if you become a wife or a partner, your identity gets split a little. You add motherhood in there. That's another split. I don't have as many splits. I'm just like the motherhood split and that's it. Mm-hmm. I don't have to like worry about anything else. I was like, ooh, light overhead.
And you get the break. Like I talked about this, like we went on a trip last year. This is the last time we went on a trip without the kids. But literally like 2 days in, I like kind of forgot that I was a mom. Like all that muscle memory of waking up, because you're never really like completely not a parent when you're a parent. Like I gotta be alert for daycare notifications. I have to be awake kind of in the nighttime to like hear their cries. Like it's an omnipresent job. But like they were back here with my parents. I knew they were fine and good. And then like 2 or 3 days in and you just kind of re-realize that. So I would just imagine by getting more breaks, not only are you like not as split, but there's more of like a clear understanding of like there is a different version of me outside of motherhood.
Yes, yes. And that's important for me. Like I'm a mom who needs that. I'm a person who needs that. I have to like dip off into myself even to be creative. Sometimes it's hard for me to even like if I want to like write, it's hard for me to write in between like pick up and drop off. Like you get these windows, your time's not your own. You're always on borrowed time. Even now, I'm like, right after this, back to the freeway. I got to get started on that pasta immediately when I get home. And I got to thaw out her shrimp and make her dinner. Like, your time is just never your own. So it is nice to, like, get to have complete solo time sometimes.
Well, let me get you back to your pasta because I know how important that is. But I just want to say, like, you, when we talked on the phone before and then when you first came in here with a, like, fear that you weren't going to be profound enough or inspiring enough, I found you incredibly inspiring.
Thanks.
And I think that this story is incredibly inspiring. And I really hope that your daughter watches this when it's age appropriate for her to do so. I think that she'll be really proud.
Thank you. I hope
you feel that. I hope I'm not just saying something to you that feels like a stranger giving you a nice greeting card.
No, I'll take it. I'm going to take it and ponder with it. When you, at the beginning, when you were like, and you're not proud of that? I was like, damn, I didn't even ever think about it. Just did it. You know, you just be doing stuff. You don't be thinking.
Well, let's talk about what I know you are proud of, work.
Yes.
What are some exciting things that are happening in your world?
Oh my God. Okay. I got 3 things going on. First, I'm going to start with the oldest and get to the newest. First is Captain America, Brave New World. I think it's still in theaters now. And if not, I know it is on Blu-ray and I think DVD. I don't know if DVDs exist anymore, but I think it's going to be on Disney Plus pretty soon in May. So that's bomb. Anthony Mackie is the new Captain America, Black in America, Black director, Black me, it's dope. Then I'm on an animated series that is, the finale just aired, but all episodes are streaming on Max. And it's called Oh My God, Yes, a series of relatable circumstances. Super funny, dope, takes place like in a Afro-futuristic dystopian South Central. And it's the first animated series on Adult Swim to be created and showran by a Black woman, starring all Black women in the lead cast. So that's really, really dope, and I'm excited about that. And lastly, newest show, Forever, coming to Netflix May 8th.
Hey.
Yes, it's a year of release for me, so I'm excited. I ain't working on nothing, but everything's coming out.
Yet.
Fishy time in the business.
Which, isn't that the joy, though, of being in the business for as long as you have been? It's just knowing that the pendulum always swings.
Yes.
Like, actually having, and I want to actually end with that, because in dating and love, the only place that you can really say that 80% of people find a person that they want to spend their life with, you can't actually offer that, like, high stat of people who figured out a dream come true in any other area of life. 80% of actors do not get to work regularly. 80% of people don't have their dream home, don't live in their dream city. But 80% of people who intentionally want to find a life partner do. And so when you kind of have that knowingness, so like I love that you said, I'm not working on anything yet. It's like, I know I will.
Yeah.
I know I will work again. Just like, I know you will love again.
Yes, I will, Ashe.
All right, I guess we should end with a cheers. That feels like a completing thing.
I know, cheers.
Cheers.
Huge thank you to Zosha for bringing her authentic self to this episode. You can follow her on Instagram at ZoshRock, that's spelled X-O-S-H-R-O-Q, and catch her in Netflix's series Forever, which is already renewed for season 2. Congrats, of course, to our girl Zosha and to our girl Mara Brakakio. All right, there was a lot shared in this episode, from autonomy to coercion to shame to freedom, all things that I was dying to discuss with my lovers community, which, did you know, you can be a part of too. Head to loversbyshan.com/community to sign up. All right, we're recording. Yes! Hi, everyone! I can't wait to hear what your thoughts are.
You mentioning that her story is very the millennial story. I, like, sat with that because, like, very much with the Me Too movement, I had a whole, like, the figuring out if it was, like, assault. And I'm like, sure, there's, like, tons of coercion, like, constantly. And she was like, she said it was, like, on a loop. So it was just very validating hearing that throughout this episode.
I was specifically reflecting on this because I have a niece who is 13 years old, and I have a sex ed series right now on Crash Course, and I keep trying to get my niece and nephew to watch it, and they're like, don't. And I was just saying to Jared, I'm like, I'm terrified that I'm not going to be able, that I don't have the relationship with them to impact them, to tell them what I wish I knew. You can feel it. They're into you, you're into them, and you are ready to swan dive into the deep, passionate waters of doing it. But wait, how do you know you both want to have sex? Like, for sure, consent seems straightforward. You both want to do it or you don't. But sometimes there's more going on behind a simple yes or no. Context is also super important. It's not just about the yes, but about all the circumstances around it. A yes is only consensual if it's freely given, no pressure or manipulation attached. So let's unpack consent together. Hi, I'm Shambhudram, and this is Crash Course Sex Ed.
Your niece and nephew didn't want to watch the videos. One, I think they will one day, once they realize how world famous you are, they will eventually give in and watch the videos. And speaking of, yeah, speaking of autonomy, like, I think my favorite part of the podcast was, it was like a, such a small part. When she was talking about going to that party and, like, no one knew her, and she was just having the time of her life being completely anonymous. I love that part so much because I think we spend so much time to be, like, easily recognizable, easily identifiable to, for potential partners to, like, just gravitate towards us. But when you, like, find your power in that, like, unknown, just staying in that unknown space, like, you get to make the rules for how people engage you. And that puts power mm-hmm. in your hand.
What's, did you call him? Vladimir and Zoloff. And this, like, kind of just fun, fly-by-night, whatever, one-time-only experience. And I refer to those as, like, fruit experiences. Maybe I'm wearing on purpose, but when you get a fruit, you have an apple, right? And you bite into it, and it's so good. And you enjoy that apple, and sometimes it's over. That's it. There's, like, nothing left to do. And it's when people are finished the apple, instead of appreciating it for what it was, but, like, try to make it more and rip at it and try and get angry at it for being finished, is when what could have been a good experience ends up being very sour. So I just love the fact that she got this delicious mango that she consumed and just loved it for what it was. And that's the kind of experience that she's lit up about.
Zosha said a really great line. Don't love anyone more than you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge, that's a huge guiding light mm-hmm. there. And I think if my parents had had conversations with me at a young age about self-pleasuring, mm-hmm. it probably would have saved me from a lot of bad decisions.
In my opinion, you're just not protecting your kids if you're trying to keep them from that information.
What I liked about the conversation with Zosha, even though the general theme is I only want to have the kinds of sexual and intimate experiences I'd be proud to tell my kid, we didn't really talk about her kid a whole lot, right? And so, again, kind of going back to the universality of these themes of don't love anyone more than you love yourself, one, and don't betray yourself to be with someone else. It's very easy for us to get into the mindset of, like, oh yeah, for my kids. Like, what about for you, right? Like, what are the areas in which you find yourself, you know, betraying yourself in order to be loved or to uphold the status quo if you're in a long-term relationship? And what are some ways that you can take inspiration from where Zosha has come from into our own worlds? And it's inspiring for me, I think, to think about
there's some conversations that I've had in my relationship that I'm just like, man, like, why did it take me so long to admit that after a second kid, I'm not a WAP anymore? You know what I mean? I'm just not there. And I was going through so many instances of like trying to deny that side of myself, rather than being like, hey, like, lube needs to be more of a normal thing, not a special occasion thing.
Yeah, I agree. That was a great, that he hit a great point there. Cause I definitely feel like that. I feel like this is like, for me personally, it's like a whole like transition. You know, when you're become a single mom, you're just kind of like, you almost feel like you have to put your kids first. Well, obviously you do, but, and it makes it a little bit more difficult with dating. But you have to like kind of just make a commitment to yourself, you know? So for me, it's really about making a commitment to myself to be able to explore and not feel ashamed, not feel like, you know, I'm going to be judged, because who cares, you know? And I'd rather be able to tell them those stories of like how I was able to feel empowered. They should be able to feel like if they want to date a single mom, that's going to be okay.
What I love about the community is sometimes what really stood out for me in the episode is so different from what stood out for all of you, and it allows me to see it from a completely fresh perspective. So there's actually so much more that I want to say that I'm not sure if I'm ready to share publicly. So on that note, let's pause right now on our public recording. I want to invite all of you who are interested in having conversations like these intimately within the community to go to loversbyshan.com, navigate to the community section, and see if this is the right fit for you. And speaking of fit, find your fit self back here next week. You thought I'd get stuck. I didn't. We'll see you next week in the episode. Bye. Big shout out to the Lovers by Shan community. This is a space I created for people who love love. It's for those of us who are passionate about reaching our intimate potential. On my site, you're going to find an AI trained on 20 years of my work where you can ask any questions. You'll also find free quizzes and resources, plus a place to sign up for my weekly newsletter, and last, but certainly not least, information on the Lovers by Shan community. If you want to be a part of intimate conversations just like the one you just saw, join the waitlist, and hopefully I'll meet you soon, lover.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility, to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.